Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Please take your seats quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Tennis Weekly with Joel, Kim and Chris on today's Australian Open preview.
Djokovic looks to create even more history down under.
Świątek draws a former champion in round one.
And Osaka and Raducanu get ready for their Grand Slam return.
Kim, Chris, today is the 11th of January and we are here to catch up on the Australian Open draws at Tennis Weekly HQ. The men's and ladies singles draws, they came out overnight. We were fast asleep and I don't know about you guys, I was very excited to wake up this morning, check my phone and just see the madness and the chaos of a round one Grand Slam draw, the first one of 2024.
It caught me by surprise, to be honest, because I was trying to look at the results and then I saw all of Twitter was reacting to some of these kind of mouth-watering clashes.
You mean you didn't wake up at 3 a.m. to watch it live?
Have I done that before? Yes, but when your faves draw someone really awful, then it doesn't make that sort of like loss of sleep worthwhile.
Yeah, you just want to go back to sleep.
I woke up to a WhatsApp saying Caroline Garcia was drawn against Naomi Osaka. What a nightmare draw for Garcia. Well, potentially for both of them.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, now that we have her as an enemy with a podcast, Naomi Osaka comes through that one.
Garcia is dead to me. She's dead to me now that she's created her own podcast.
Unless she comes on the podcast, and then obviously everything's fine.
Yeah, if she comes on, Garcia, we love you once again. But at the moment, yeah, not in my best books.
Oh, she'll always be the Renaissance to me, don't worry.
Well, before we get into looking at the draws, as well as unveiling our collector set player picks as well, we just want to do a crowdfund update for everyone. We are just £47 away from hitting our target of £2,000. We are currently at £1,953. And we want to say a big thank you to everyone who has donated, especially over the last couple of days, but everyone who has managed to reach into their pockets to support us. Please help us get over the line. We are so close. We put the GoFundMe link in the description if you can help us out. But yeah, massive, massive thank you for everyone already.
Also in the description is the link to vote for us to win the Best Tennis and Racket Podcast at the Sports Podcast Awards.
Last year, we finished runner-up and we'd love to go one better. So please do vote for us if you'd like us to win and do get those votes in before the deadline of the 28th of January. I think that now brings us on to... Well, actually, before we get into Australian Open draw
and the
preview...
The suspense, the tension.
We do have... Yeah, we lied when we said that this would be the next time you heard from us because... Avid listeners who follow everything, well, they may already have listened to Chris. You had an interview with a certain someone the other day.
Yes, we had Ben Rothenberg came on the podcast to talk about his new book about Naomi Osaka. So it's a very good timing for that. And there are some great opinions, great insight there, not so great stories from the Osaka family, including kind of the sister, the relationship with her sort of family at large. And I learned an awful lot from that. Mm. And looking ahead of the Australian Open, I think it will be very interesting to see what the next chapter is. So I think that's well worth a listen if you're a fan of Naomi Osaka. And I think everyone will be surprised by what you'll hear. There's some very interesting things in that one.
Yeah, it's a great episode. Thanks, Chris, for going solo on that and bringing that to all of our listeners.
Managing the time difference, Kim.
Yeah, Copenhagen to Melbourne. I think that's our
Thank God for the internet,
right?
Yeah. We were forgiving the delay.
Yeah, we were putting the Wi-Fi into overdrive, weren't we?
We were the dial-up broadband.
eagle-eyed listeners as well may have also spotted us in the first episode of the recently released Breakpoint series 2. We both all have little cameo audio pieces, don't we?
As a double act,
very
Joel,
exciting
for us. I know. And Kim had a solo performance, and we were in a very tense moment of the Breakpoint curse, and then we have this crescendo, and it's Tennis Weekly taking us to it has to be a thing, right?
I think surreal. It's so surreal, isn't it, hearing your voice on Netflix? But it's amazing at the same time to consider, you know, where the pod has started and now where it is. We're on Netflix.
We need to get a subscription. I wonder if they'll throw that in for for free for us so we can watch it.
Yeah, so do check out Breakpoint if you haven't already started binge watching it, because we've got 6 episodes to, you know, whet your appetite before the Australian Open starts on Sunday. And talking of the Australian Open, we do have 2 draws to analyze and make predictions from. So let's start with the men's draw, where we've got Novak Djokovic as defending champion and top seed. His opening quarter, I mean, he's got, I would say, quite a nice draw. I mean, it's, I feel like we say this kind of every time because it's Novak Djokovic, and, you know, even if he had tougher elements to his draw, we'd still be predicting him to come through, I'm quite sure. But Joel, what do you make of Djokovic's quarter? It is a projected quarterfinal with Stefanos Tsitsipas if the seeding goes to plan, isn't it?
I don't think we're going to get that. I think Stefanos Tsitsipas, I saw earlier, taking a medical timeout during an exhibition in Melbourne, which was not
surely
a good
not
sign.
Kids' day or Djokovic's day of fun. Goodness.
Yeah, I know. Medical timeouts in exhibitions, that is not something you want to see. So I'm not sure how fighting fit he is. And that's a worry because, you know, he was finalist here last year. Lots of points to defend, and he's got Berrettini in the first round, who has also had very good memories recently of playing in Melbourne. So that could be a very interesting encounter. But yeah, for Djokovic, quite an easy draw. I'm sort of hoping we get Djokovic Ben Shelton in round 4, because we could see I think that could be a spicy encounter given the hoo-ha we had last year. We could get the Ben Shelton, the return maybe of the dial me in hand gesture.
Well, it's been hung up, that call, right now. So someone needs to dial back in to pick up the phone. So hopefully that story will play out. But I mean, that would be a very interesting clash. And I think it's always nice when we get to see some of the older sort of generation versus the new generation and see how they're kind of sort of performing.
I mean, the older generation are just all in around Djokovic, aren't they? Because you've got Djokovic, you've got Andy Murray, you've got Gael Monfils. Stan Wawrinka's lurking about here.
Manarino.
Yeah, it's like the old gen in the top of the first quarter.
Batista Agut also in there as well. Yeah, it's a battle of the young guns and some of the, should we say, more mature participants of the tour.
Taylor Fritz also kind of flying around in this section. But I mean, do you think that Ben Shelton is maybe the only one that has a chance to even beat Novak? I mean, apart from Novak's wrist, perhaps that will be the bigger threat to Novak if there is an injury.
Ooh, I've got to be honest. It's really hard to think that someone's going to come through this section of the draw apart from Djokovic. I mean, we always say that, but when you look at kind of the full section we have here, I mean, Tsitsipas is probably your pick of the top 8 seeds, given some of the injury concerns that you've mentioned, Joel. And there are some kind of strong players in here, but they aren't those sort of players that you wouldn't want to see in your quarter when it comes to people being like a really big threat. An inspired someone, you know, he might take a set off Djokovic in the first few rounds. You know, that could be like a Popperin might have a fantastic tiebreak set against him. He does like to lose a set in the opening rounds of a tournament before he kind of brushes away the number 2 seed. So for me, I mean, this has had Djokovic coming through all over it.
And Andy Murray opens against Thomas Echeverry. Could face Gael Monfils second
round. 5
sets
written all over it, Kim.
It does seem that way, doesn't it? I mean, potential third round with Novak Djokovic. Joel, are we going to get that match, do you think?
I don't think we can look that far ahead. And actually, even before that, I would love to see Murray versus Gael Monfils. I think that would be a real entertaining show that would you know, no doubt pack out a stadium. But I think you've got to take it one match at a time. And Echeverry, 30th seed, I think that's a very tough opener. Could be a very attritional battle, I think, that could go very, very deep. And you know, Murray, obviously, you know, he's had a he's had good performances, but he hasn't had the wins to start that he would have liked, you know, at the very start of 2024. So yeah, we'll have to see. But I'm hoping we can get some of those more entertaining matches if he can come through that first one against Echeverry.
It's just such a shame, isn't it? I was talking last time about what we need from Murray is a good draw. And I'd say, I mean, having Echeverry round one, round two, potentially Gael Monfils, and then round three, Novak Djokovic, I wouldn't say that this quarter is really opening up for Andy Murray at this stage, which is a shame. So I think it will be about, as you say, going round to round here. But I mean, there are some other returning players here. I mean, I've got my eye on Marin Cilic. I think he showed some good tennis, even though I did say that maybe
Is he going to lose from 7 match points?
I just think it's the 5 sets thing. Some of these players aren't able to get it done, you know, in three. So when you're coming back to the tour, it could be tough. But I mean, is there anyone else who catches your eye, Kim?
Well, I was about to say Fabian Marashan, who Marin Cilic is scheduled to play. I just
the giant
think he
killer.
Might. I think he might, go on a bit of a, I would say a bit of a run, but he might get a few wins under his belt. He's the only other person.
My prediction already, Kim.
Yeah, that's caught my eye. But let's have a look at the second bit of the draw, because Jannik Sinner is residing in this bit. So we would have potentially a Jannik Sinner, Novak Djokovic semi-final. Sorry. I had to do the maths and I was thinking, hang on, one plus two plus three plus four. I know. and we do also have Andre Rublev as the 5th seed in this section. So potentially Sinner, Rublev, quarter. Chris, who are you looking at in this little section of the men's draw?
Well, I mean, Dimonar is definitely a big, big talking point this tournament. It's really teeing himself up. Almost kind of in a way that there hasn't been that sort of pressure on an Australian player playing in Australia for such a long time who has been a male player. Obviously, there's always a lot of attention around Kyrgios and what he can do. But it just seems like there's sort of like this real expectation hype around Dimonar that this might be his time. But it's a tough first round.
Yeah. I think it's a tough draw. Rajanovic then potentially...
Arnaldi. And Jarry is... He had some good results. I mean, he was playing in the United Cup and they were able to spring a few surprises here and there. So it is a tough draw for Dimonar. And you have to think that the pressure could get to players. We've seen that with Sam Stosur in the past, that when there is this expectation, it's so hard to put it together, especially in such a sporting nation like Australia, where this will be front page news, whatever happens. And in the absence of kind of a female story of quite the same level, it will be tricky to see, you know, how he's going to come through some of these clashes. But will he live up to the weight of expectation, Kim?
I think he will, actually. I think he's going to come through. I mean, he's in the top 10 now, first time in his career. So I guess he may be feeling that extra pressure. But I think he's just seemed to have stepped up a slight notch of late. And I think he's going to come through and play Jannik Sinner in the quarterfinal. That's what I'm envisaging.
Ooh, so I think he's going to take out Rublev.
I think he might get the better of Rublev.
He's got a positive head-to-head against him. He has, having lost their most recent encounter in Paris in 3 sets. But he has actually won 3 of the last 4 that they played prior to that. So it's not a bad matchup for him.
Joel, do you think Jannik Sinner is going to come through this section easily?
I think so. I mean, we've not obviously seen much of him. You know, he didn't play in the first week of editions. Exactly. We've been talking more about him in that. I mean, what is your thoughts on that advert? It's very Italian.
Yeah, I kind of love it. But, you know, the idea of kind of seeing Sinner in all those different looks is very different to how we normally see him on the court. So,
I mean, it's almost like he's a mannequin. I guess one player in or around him is Karen Khachanov, who seems to always peak whenever he plays in Grand Slams. And again, another player who's got good memories of playing at the Australian Open. But I still think with Sinner, the momentum he's on, I think we're going to be ending up with potentially Sinner Djokovic coming through into the semi-finals. I just can't see him flaking in this part of the draw, really.
I agree. I think that's looking likely. Let's look at the bottom half of the draw, the third quarter specifically, where we've got Daniil Medvedev as the 3rd seed. Now, he's been a 2-time finalist here, so he's going to be hoping he can, you know, go one better and lift the trophy. But we've also got Holger Rune in this section. We've got recent Brisbane champion Grigor Dimitrov as well, and Hubert Hurkacz, who, you know, almost won the United Cup for Poland. Joel, Who is catching your eye from the third quarter here?
Well, I think it's actually Holger Rune at the top of the draw. You know, he had that great run to the final in Brisbane where he played Dimitrov, and I'm actually looking at both of those finalists to see, you know, how they do, because you know, they've been playing so well, and Dimitrov is a player who carried on that momentum from the end of last year. And yeah, I think if you're Daniil Medvedev, yes, you might have a few easy openers and a few easy settlers, but I think it'd be a very fascinating contest if we did get to round four and we had a Dimitrov-Medvedev matchup, because I just think Dimitrov's, he's on a new lease of life at the moment on the tennis court.
Chris, do you think Dimitrov's getting there? Is he going to continue his run of form?
It's a tricky one, because I do get excited about Dimitrov, and I always think, you know, he's going to be able to put it together in the slams, and then it doesn't quite happen that way. And everyone in the slams is really going to be playing some of their best tennis, and he has kind of been known to make it a bit harder for himself. But having said that, he did win the last encounter in Paris that they had in a very tight three-setter. But apart from that, it's been pretty dominated by Medvedev. So
I am worried. He has got Vucevic in round one, and I just see
I can
Vucevic.
See a round one exit.
That's just not a nice round one draw, is it? He's a very experienced player at Grand Slams, and is always, I feel like he's always like a keen player who likes to upset the apple cart.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, and we just have to hope that kind of this is Grigor 2.0, in the sense that he's able to, you know, keep building on that and keep a level head in the big tournaments. Because I mean, it's one thing obviously getting to the final of a 250 and a final of a 1000, but if you really want to push on and get back into the top 10, you've got to put it together in the slams, which is something he hasn't necessarily done that much of lately. But in terms of Holger, I was going to ask the question, do you think that people could trouble him on a path to a potential quarterfinal here, Kim?
Only either Herkaz or possibly Denis Shapovalov.
Oh, you did make a Herkaz pick, didn't you, at the end of last season? You do like to predict a good result for him.
Well, I'd like the best for him. I quite like watching a bit of Hubert Herkaz, and I feel like he deserves a really good, solid, run at a slam. I know he did well at Wimbledon a few years back, but I'd love to see him, you know, going deep. Also, in this section of the draw, Felix Auger-Aliassime is up against Dominic Thiem in the first round. That caught my eye. You know, Felix is not doing well, is he? I think Dominic Thiem could win that one and, you know, perhaps get a few wins under his belt. I mean, that's quite an open match, I think. Obviously, two big names there.
One player, Chris, I wanted to throw your way was, I'm probably going to say his surname wrong, but Arthur Fies.
He is in this
quarter of the draw. I mean, you have had big hopes for him this season. With this Australian Open draw that he's been dealt, do you feel like this could be a coming out moment for him potentially on the Grand Slam stage?
Yeah, I mean, I really do think that there's going to be some great results for him. He's had a great start to the season. He pushed kind of Andre Rublev all the way in the quarterfinal in Hong Kong. That was a very closely fought match. He actually took a set 6-1 against Andre Rublev, which doesn't happen that often. He doesn't often go that much off the boil in matches. He always normally stays quite competitive, and he's actually headed into the semi-finals in Auckland. So he's in some good form. He's got some good matches under his belt. And I mean, his ball striking, I do think, is so impressive. He's physically very strong. I think he can go five sets, and we've seen at some kind of big tournaments, he has almost gone kind of five sets in multiple matches and got his way through. So I think physically he's there. And if it does become kind of a battle of attrition, I actually do think he's probably more capable of going five sets than maybe Holger Rune at this point, because we have seen some injuries last season. And I think the conditioning of Fies and not playing too much coming into this probably does let you, last season into this season, does kind of let you prepare yourself a bit better than someone who's relentlessly tennising.
Are either of you as sad as I am about the fact that Denis Shapovalov is unseeded? Which, was he unseeded at Grand Slam draws last season? I don't know, I'm just seeing that and it feels unfamiliar. It feels unfamiliar, and I don't like it. And you know, the kind of talk around Shapovalov and Felix Auger-Aliassime it died a lot, didn't it, last season? Or the momentum really stopped and they've sort of gone backwards for different reasons, whether that's injuries or form or a mixture of the two. And, you know, I think Shapovalov in this draw and where he is, you know, he's opening up against a qualifier or a lucky loser. He, I think, comes into this draw thinking, I've got a point to prove here. And with potentially Hubert Hurkacz in the second round, that might be, you know, that might be an opportunity for him.
He does seem to me, kind of over time, he's someone who does need a lot of match practice because he does not always make the best decisions or play the sort of the percentage tennis at times. And he has returned for the first time since Wimbledon last week, where he actually lost very straightforward result for Offner, 6-4, 6-2. So that's not necessarily indicative of kind of a great result or great kind of run here. But yeah, it is very strange. I was going to say, it's also quite strange in the previous section seeing kind of Borna Coric unseeded as well. And there's a lot of these sort of players who have kind of moved up and then they've kind of regressed a little bit in that sort of mid-20s mark. So
don't worry, we're going to get another Roman Safulin peak run to a quarterfinal of the Grand Slam.
There's always
main
a semi-finalist in Australia who does something really rogue.
Well, I think that in the fourth quarter, we could have a surprise quarterfinalist. This final quarter of the draw does feature Carlos Alcaraz. It also features Sasha Zverev, Casper Ruud, Tommy Paul. We've got basically all the Brits apart from Andy Murray in here as well, with Jack Draper, Cameron Norrie, and Dan Evans. I was trying to think who the third Brit was for a minute.
I was like,
there.
All the Brits, is that too?
Sorry, Dan. Yeah, this bit of the draw. I mean, Carlos Alcaraz, I really don't know what to expect from him. Am I right to be tentative about him at the AO? He didn't play it last year. He was out injured. Joel, what do you think of Alcaraz?
I mean, it feels like we haven't seen the best of him of late. I think injuries have hampered him, and that's never a great sign when you're going into, you know, best of five set environment. And, you know, looking at his draw, I mean, he's got Gasquet in the first round, and I think that's a nice kind of loosener for him. But the fact that he could have either Evans or Sonego in the second round, and then maybe even Bublik in the third round, who's, you know, on some great form this week. I think he's into semi-finals in Adelaide and is playing Jack Draper. He's not got an easy draw, I don't think, to start off with. And I think, given, you know, what he's been through over the last, you know, few months or so, I definitely think he's more vulnerable than at other times, you know, he has been, you know, last season, where it felt like he was all conquering, you know, going to semifinals and finals. I think, yeah, this, if there is a shock moment for a top seed, I think there's certainly some vulnerability there.
He's an unknown quantity, isn't he, I would say. And looking at the draw, if you were him...
Tommy Paul as well. I mean, Tommy Paul had his number, didn't he, in the American hardcourt swing last season?
Well, exactly. And hopefully, kind of, they do get to... Well, actually, maybe not hopefully, with so many Brits in that sort of section that we would hope that they maybe don't necessarily beat. But that maybe he can get his revenge there. But Tommy Paul, not been in fantastic form. He did go down to Jack Draper in quite impressive style. And that's a name that I want to throw in here because...
It could be a repeat.
And I think it's definitely showing that the UTS Jack Draper we saw has definitely brought that form into 2024. And I was thinking, if you're a seed, you really don't want to see Jack Draper's name next to you. And the seeds have managed to dodge him, so at least they won't be playing him in round one. But he is high on confidence, having kind of had a great week into the last four on the ATP Tour this week.
Is there any concern over the fact that he is playing the tournament the immediate week before the Grand Slam, and that he could have peaked, you know, too early in terms of, you know, going into this, and it might be a bit, I don't know, it might be a bit too much? Or do we think that he's going to be able to kind of ride it through?
Well, would he rather be in the fight for his first ATP title, or, you know, make a run at the AO at this stage of your career? I don't know, maybe you'd go for the former actually. But I mean, if he does lose this semi-final, one positive is that, you know, you can get to Melbourne quicker and prepare for your opening,
a bit like Rybakina,
you know,
who didn't really turn up against Alexandrova. I think she'd already booked her flight and needed to kind of check in for that.
Yeah, it can work both ways. I know Dan Evans in the past has spoken about, you know, he's done really well, I think, the week prior to the AO.
He's won titles, and then...
It just ruined him for the AO. So, he, you know, he spoke about managing his schedule better. That's why, personally, I would play in the tournament, you know, 2 weeks prior, but not immediately before. But, you know, at such a young age and stage of your career, that's you're learning, aren't you, with regards to the schedule and what you can tolerate. So I think, you know, well, I think it's, you know, positive though, that he's got off to such a good start to the season. And who knows, in a couple of slams time, maybe he will be seeded himself.
I mean, you'd have to think it's looking that way. And a player who is currently still seeded is Cam Norrie, who hasn't kind of had the best run of form, and he's starting to pick up a little bit now and getting some match practice in. He could potentially face Norwegian Casper Ruud in the third round, which is also quite interesting because they're both players who have put together some really great results at slams previously, and it'd be interesting to see who's going to be the person who steps up from that section, because there's a lot of players who would love to make the quarters and semifinals here.
Zverev,
yeah,
as
Sasha
well,
Zverev.
Who you know, he had a great, you know, he's had a great tournament at the United Cup, a name maybe quite unfancied at the moment, but again, I think in this quarter, yeah, there are definitely opportunities there to make inroads because of, I think, the vulnerability of the top seeds, you know, as I say, kind of Alcaraz and the people he's got to go through. I think particularly people in that section around Zverev, they've got the opportunity to have a nice run potentially to fourth round quarterfinal, and you know, maybe some of the favourites are out by that point.
I also think Zverev is vulnerable though at slams. You know, he gets embroiled into long matches. We've seen some quite ugly tennis from him at times. So I think he's
You'd
still...
give him this draw though, I think, on a plate. I mean, looking at it, it's a really nice draw, I think, for him to kind of continue where he left off in the United Cup, I think.
Yeah, there might be a surprise package in there. Who knows? Can't get complacent. Well, no one can, you know, at their peril. let's make some predictions then for who we think's reaching each quarter. We'll go quarter by quarter. So quarter one, that's Djokovic's quarter. Who are we predicting for our quarterfinal matchups? Joel?
Djokovic, Fritz.
Chris?
Djokovic, Cilic.
Oh, Cilic. Okay.
Ooh, so I haven't even mentioned him so far.
Sorry, Fritz, I was going to say. Fritz, that's rogue, Joel.
I've gone for Djokovic, Tsitsipas. I've gone a bit.
Oh, that's even more rogue. Come on.
He's last year's finalist. Why would I not? He has good form.
He retired. He retired.
The facial expressions he was not giving earlier were not
good.
Oh, kids
day.
Dear.
I bet he's going to win it now after all of this.
Quarter two. Chris.
I have gone for Sinner and then ADM.
ADM, Alex de Minaur. I've gone for exactly the same. And Joel?
Sinner, Rublev.
Okay.
I think Rublev's going to do his classic, get to a quarterfinal and then check out.
Always the bridesmaid.
I guess he's not making your semi-final then, Joel.
Sorry, yeah, spoiler alert.
So quarter three, Joel?
Rune Medvedev.
Oh, I've gone for exactly the
same. We've all gone for that, I think. Yeah, same.
Ah, interesting. Okay, and quarter four, Joel?
I'm completely aware I've bigged up Zverev for the last 5 minutes. I've actually gone Alcaraz, Ruud. I also downplayed Alcaraz as well. I don't know where I've got this from, but I'm going Alcaraz versus Ruud.
Chris?
I just had to double check that I did put this, but I have gone for Ruud versus Draper. I think,
ooh,
you know, Draper's going to take out Alcaraz.
Well, you know, we have had British success here before with Carl Edmund getting to the semi-finals.
It's time for a British semi-finalist again, you know?
Oh, is that alluding to what you're going for further down? I've gone for Alcaraz versus Jiří Lehečka.
Of course you have, Kim.
What's the thinking there, Kim?
Surprise package. Well, he's the new Mukova, exactly. I like my Czech players to spring a surprise,
and I feel like he hit peak.
He is due a sort of slam breakthrough, I think.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah, that's my.
Lehečka is due a slam quarterfinal. It's his time.
I've got to go for someone rogue. I think it's just, you know, it's got to
normally
be done.
It's Seb Korda for you that you quite like.
I know. I'm over him now. So, yeah. Semi-final one, Joel.
Djokovic, Sinner, it's got to be.
Yeah, same for me, Chris.
Yeah,
same.
I've gone for the same as well.
We're unanimous on that. And semi-final two, Joel?
I've gone Rune Alcaraz.
Okay.
Ooh, you're a big Rune fan. I think you might have taken over from me as the number one Rune fan.
Yeah, normally
the
Chris predict him. I've gone for Medvedev against Alcaraz.
And I've gone Medvedev Draper because I kind of told you already.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And the final then, Joel, who's your final and champion?
I've gone Djokovic, Alcaraz, and I've got to go Novak Djokovic. I know it's boring. I know it's lame, but I just
can't. Hopefully it wouldn't be a boring final though.
Yeah. I just can't go against
the seeded
history
for a reason.
And the seeds, and it's Novak Djokovic winning the Australian Open.
Joel is also predicting now a Swiatek-Sabalenka final. We may as well just skip to that. But
spoiler.
You do want to go, Kim?
I've gone for Djokovic Medvedev, so I've gone a bit more, you know, what we had a few years back. I've
had
gone
a few
for the fact
finals.
That Medvedev's been in a few finals here, whereas Alcaraz, you know, we don't know what to expect from him down under. So that's me and Djokovic to win, of course.
Kim, that is so boring. I mean, your predictions, they are so...
I actually think that's a very good prediction. I think it's solid, but it's not the one and two that
they're
everyone
definitely not as boring as mine.
Medvedev hasn't had a final there for a couple of years, you know.
That's why I threw in Jiří Lehečka to counterbalance the standard final, yeah.
I guess you threw in Fritz making a quarterfinal, so I guess that's sort of rogue, Joel. But I went for the upset of all upsets because I think I've gone the most rogue with predictions
this time. Jack Draper, Grand Slam champion?
I didn't do that because of Kim's rule. If you predict the Rafa to win and he does it, then you've jinxed it. It doesn't happen. So I went for Sinner, stating the upset of all upsets against Novak Djokovic in the semi-final. Really stepping in to kind of the limelight there and against Medvedev. And I've gone for Sinner winning.
First time champion.
I said it to Ben when we spoke to him yesterday. He said only an idiot wouldn't predict Djokovic. And I told him I predicted Sinner. And he said, well...
You're an idiot then, Chris.
Yes. So I have to stick with it now.
Well. Listeners, what do you think? Do tell us all of your predictions on our social channels. We'd love to know what you think. But we'll be taking a quick break now. But do join us in the second half where we'll be looking at the women's draw and also revealing our collector set player picks. So do not go anywhere.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to the Tennis Weekly podcast. And now we're going to move on to look at the women's draw where we've got Iga Swiatek at the top of the draw as the number one seed. She's not won this title. She is eyeing
and she's
up
not
her
going
very
to win it,
first.
Kim. I can tell you that now. It's an absolute horror draw.
It is a nightmare draw, really. I mean, she opens against the champion here from 4 years ago, and then she could face another previous champion in the second round. Joel, do you want to talk us through her nightmare draw?
I mean, Swiatek, Kenin, Collins, Kerber, there's only one player there who hasn't reached an Australian Open final, and it's Iga Swiatek. It's not a very kind draw, I think, to open with. And I'm almost glad she had all that practice at the United Cup because, you know, she's going to need to be battle ready, I think, from the first round. It's not going to be easy for her. And I think what's so hard is that with someone like Sofia Kenin, she, I think, has the capacity to have some really, really good results. But we've also seen that she has the capacity to have some really, really bad results. So it might be up to whether, you know, what stuff Sofia Kenin steps out on the court. But I mean, beyond that, you potentially also have Noskova, Svitolina in round four as well. It's just a very tricky draw for someone who is looking and probably is, you know, is the favourite.
Wait, so who's going to win that, Joel, then? So Kennen against Coco Gauff, that was a fantastic performance in terms of stepping up against a player who was much more in form than she was at the time. She's taken out Sabalenka in the off-season and last season. Is this a sort of opportunity that Kennen relishes in, or would this be such a good opportunity if it wasn't world number one, Iga Świątek?
I'm still backing Świątek, but I think it's going to be a battle.
I mean, it's round one.
So I was at the Kennen Gauff match at Wimbledon, and it was just, Kennen was just amazing. And if she brings that level, but I mean,
she's a big game player, isn't she?
She is, but Świątek's also been in fantastic form, you know, and it's on this win streak. But then, you know, all win streaks have to come
to an
end. You've
got to hit her off
but
the court, though. And does Kennen have the firepower, would be my question.
I mean,
that's a previous Grand Slam final, actually, isn't it? That is a Grand Slam final from the 2020 French Open.
Yes,
which is,
yes, that's true. I mean, if Świątek gets through those early rounds, her possible quarterfinal opponent would be Yelena Ostapenko, who she has never managed to beat. So if, you know, if it doesn't get bad at the beginning, it gets far worse the further she goes along.
Not Marketa Vondrousova, Kim?
Oh, yeah, but Marketa Vondrousova on the seeding, yes. But I mean,
or even Azarenka.
Been having some good wins so far this year. Azarenka, two-time former champion. I mean, it's just peppered with solid players and Grand Slam champions. I mean, even Marie Buskova, you know, could spring a surprise. There's just no one really in this draw that, you know, there's a whole host of top names that could
cause a struggle. It's Ostapenko's draw, I think. You know, I think she has said this year she's going to try something different. She's going to be more aggressive, is what she said in an on-court interview. And I'm not sure that's actually humanly possible. But yeah, I'm not sure what the margin for error would be like. But she's really, you know, she's putting it together. She'll be back in the top 10 come Monday, unless I think another player does make the final or win the title. So she's really put it back together, having not been in the top 10 for a number of years now, and high on confidence. She's swinging freely. She did lose to Azarenka in Brisbane, so that could be a really entertaining clash. But Azarenka's got a lot of points to defend, last year's semi-finalist. This kind of has that sort of bottom section of this draw has kind of a story written all over it, that there will be someone who does something a bit magic. And could that be Australia's Ila Tomjanovic?
What about Emma Navarro? I mean, I was sort of reading up on her the other day. Her dad is some top billionaire or something. So, I mean, not that that's relevant to this, but I just,
goodness,
you know, I didn't know.
Is she going to buy her way through the draw, Kim?
Can she buy the WTA? Is that possible?
Well, maybe her dad could, get involved. Help the prize money situation.
Yeah,
him
the prize
and
pot in
JPEG's
Rome.
Dad. Yeah. But yeah, I was just, you know, she's not one that I've seen an awful lot of, yet she's seeded here. So perhaps it's time for her to be a dark horse and come through the draw a bit. But I mean, it's very
but
tough.
Seeded is so surprising for me because I think she's a little bit of a Maya Sharif here, because she's kind of one of the least known seeds out there, because we've talked about her a little bit. But I mean, she's only had 16 tour level main draw wins, and that is 6 wins this year. So she's kind of done it on the 125 tour and sort of the lower level tours to get to this spot. And, you know, she's obviously put together some really consistent results and played a lot of weeks to get there. And she played pretty consistently in the off season. But I'd argue that's probably quite a good seed to get, really, because it's such uncharted territory for them, playing as a seed and having not really played on the big stage that much.
Yeah, you can fly under the radar a bit, can't you? But yeah, it did surprise me that she was seeded. That's why I sort of had to, do a bit of research. But let's look at the second bit of the draw, because here we have got Elena Rybakina as the third seed. Also Jessie Pegula as the fifth seed. They are the sort of two standout names. So also got Kazakina, Chinwen Zheng, Castella. She often springs a surprise. Yeah,
Sloane
Tatiana
Stephens.
Maria.
Sloane Stephens.
Chris's favourite. Mm-hmm. but really my eye here was drawn to the Rybakina-Pliskova opener. Chris, what are your thoughts on that? What can we expect from that one?
I think we're going to expect some absolute bombs of serving in that. I think that's going to be maybe the ace record. Better watch out, especially if that goes long. I mean, Rybakina, I think she did, as I said, I think she didn't really commit to that match that she was playing, having won the title in the first week of the season. I think she wanted to be in Melbourne. We've seen some great things from Pliskova as well. She played so well against Naomi. But I mean, the question is, can she do that when it's not someone who is, you know, playing very well? Is she able to back that up? Because she went out to Siniaková in a whimper, 6-2, 6-1. And you have to think, you know, what Pliskova is going to turn up. And I think Rybakina at her best and is basically a Pliskova, but better in this sense. So I think Rybakina is going to be a player to watch out for. And it's not a great draw, but at the same time, Rybakina has been putting together some of the tennis against big hitters like Sabalenka. I mean, that is scary good. So I can't see that being too much of a problem.
You would assume she would come through that, especially if Pliskova, like you said, is having an off day, which is, you know, frequent to do. Joel, there are two notable Brits in this section of the draw, Katie Balter and Emma Raducanu, actually quite close together in the draw, but they do avoid, I think, potentially meeting, I think, until the third round. But what are your thoughts on both of their prospects?
I mean, they've both got winnable, I think, first round ties. I mean, it's just great, to be honest, to see Raducanu's name in the first round of a Grand Slam main draw. I'm still a little bit nervous because she's pulled out of two exhibitions in the build-up. But I was reading today that, you know, she plans to step onto the court. And, you know, Shelby Rogers, you know, she's had great moments in the past, you know, on the Grand Slam stage. And
Not played since Wimbledon.
Did Raducanu beat Rogers on the way to the US Open title?
Yeah, absolutely destroyed her, 2-1.
Yes, so I think that there's a nice story there. Exactly. So, I mean, maybe Rogers will be out for revenge a little bit. I think both of them will see that as a winnable tie. But I think for Raducanu, yeah, I'm just excited to see her back there. And I think she's landed in quite a nice part of the draw. You know, she could have Castella afterwards. And then I'd love to see a Raducanu Chin Wen Zheng third round, because she's another player I feel like we talk a lot about. And again, I'm sort of waiting whether she can go deeper at a Grand Slam.
But she also had that big win against Kristea at Wimbledon on that Wimbledon fourth round run. That was the biggest win that she had. One of the biggest wins that she had, as well as Vondrousova on that very impressive run. And yeah, I mean, Quinn Wen Zhen hasn't kind of gone that deep in some of the slams yet. So a lot of talk. I think last season people thought that she would push on a bit more during the season, and then she really had a great end to the season. She's reunited with the coach that she split with, who actually was working with Coco Gauff when she won the US Open. So the team has been reunited, and I think that that's going to lead to a really solid season for her with her camp in order, having lost her coach, Wim Fisette, back to Naomi Osaka. So it's all been chop and change, and now hopefully she has sort of the team and the backing that she needs to really make a deep run here, because, you know, on a good day, I mean, she can do anything on a tennis court.
I mean, what do you think about Jessie Pegula? Because, you know, she's in that Andre Rublev position of, when's it going to happen for me at a Grand Slam? I'm so consistent on the tour, but it's not quite happened yet. With this draw that she has, is the Australian Open 2024 her time to push on?
I mean, it could be.
Yes and no. I mean, ironically, she's the fifth seed. I think so is Rublev. But I do think, you know, yes, it could be Rybakina Pegula quarterfinal. But I think, you know, if Rybakina brings it, she's winning that. So I still think there's a ceiling for Pegula that I'm not
seeing. She needs
to break
through. She's
going to surpass this tournament necessarily.
She's playing better.
Prove me wrong, though. That's all I say. Prove me wrong.
She's improved from the United Cup, where I think she was quite frustrated with her form at times. And now she's into, I believe, the semi-finals over in Adelaide. So that is positive for her that she's putting the form together. But I mean, it's a pretty good draw for her, you have to admit. I mean, if you head into the fourth round, it probably couldn't be a better draw before you meet a player that's really dangerous, because a 29th seed, that's a pretty favourable draw. We haven't talked about Kasatkina or Stevens here. They've fallen apart of the draw, which could give them the chance to play against Rybakina. That would be in the fourth round. But there's a few openings, you know, in the middle of this section where I think we might see someone a little bit surprising making a fourth round appearance.
We'll see. Let's look at the third quarter now, where we do have Coco Gauff, US Open champion. We've also got the return of Naomi Osaka, who opens against Caroline Garcia. Caroline Wozniacki as well, former champion as a wild card here, opening against Magda Linette. And Maria Sakkari, who I think, you know, just hasn't really been on the radar for a while now. Still the eighth seed, of course. So it'd be amiss to kind of overlook her. Chris, what are you thinking for this quarter? Who's catching your eye here?
Well, I mean, it has to be that Garcia-Osaka clash. We did talk about that earlier. Garcia, this season, she's probably got about 1.5 good sets in her, it would seem, where she just plays incredible tennis. But it's not always that way. I mean, against Ostapenko, she had that was a fantastic match in Adelaide.
Did you see on Instagram, she like retweeted the stats and said, "How did I lose this match?"
Yeah.
I mean, you have to ask the question because, I mean, people have been hitting there have been so many matches we've seen the winner count so high. Yeah. And so I think that's going to be one where maybe the fact that Caroline Garcia spent so much time playing matches at the United Cup and obviously playing Iga Świątek, she knows that she has the level, whereas Naomi Osaka is obviously a little bit more unknown in what she can do on the tennis court. And in those clutch moments, she had a lot of break points against Pliskova. She actually played better tennis in that match but didn't win it. So this might be a little bit too early in the Osaka comeback, and Garcia might be a little bit too much to handle initially, is what my thinking might be. But I'm also looking at players like Leila Fernandez, who started to put something together, the Billie Jean King Cup at the end of last year. Her and Coco Gauff playing would be something that I think would be really nice for a third round clash. If you had a ticket for that, I think you'd really enjoy it. And I have to pass over to you here, Joel, because GoatNet, she's there, Magda GoatNet, the last year's surprise package, ranked number 12, seeded number 20 here.
I mean, no one is talking about her. No one is talking about her, but I mean...
Are you about to?
I'm going to, but I actually think there's another player who's a surprise package around her that I think we should be talking more about.
Cerebes Tormo?
No, it's not Sara Cerebes. It's Linda Fruvertova, another Czech teenager who I've got my eye on because I think she's been racking up the match wins, you know, on the ITF circuit, you know, last season. And I think there's potential here for an upset in the first round against Haddad Maia. I personally would not be surprised, but we shall see.
Truly nuts that you've both gone for some crazy Czech predictions,
I think honestly, if there's going to be
what makes you think that this is the upset you're going to go with, Joel? I think it's like it's something telling. Is it in your gut?
There's a thing inside me that thinks there's going to be a breakout by, you know, a teenager here. We've seen that before, and I think that Fruvertova has the talent, and I think she has the confidence and the belief to cause top players problems, and I think she's going to cause Haddad Maia problems. And I think again, this is a nice part of the draw to be in. So I'm looking out for Fruvertova. I don't really know what to expect from Sakkari, you know, at the very top of the draw. I think this is quite an open section to who potentially could meet someone like Coco Gauff, I think, in the quarterfinals.
I do love your optimism though, because she did only get two games at the US Open against Danielle Collins. So maybe that's kind of, she got out the problems there and she's going to step up to the
It's
to
a
the
new
plate
season.
Here. It's a new season. But I mean, the Sakkari Mertens has been playing very well at the start of the season.
No.
She's no longer a double specialist, is she, Joel?
No.
She might be a single specialist, given the fact that her and Shea Siwei didn't get off to the best start at the start of this year. But I mean, who's coming through this for you, Joel, do you think? Who do you think we might see play each other in the fourth round?
I think Fruvertova, I'm really pushing Fruvertova. I just think it's very, very open. It could be anyone.
I think he might think she's Noskova. That's my big theory.
Well, I did look to see where Noskova was, but she's in that
I've got a Linda complex.
Linda's going to make it.
And I honestly don't think it really matters, because I think in this quarter, Coco Gauff, she's playing the best tennis, I think, of anyone in this quarter. And yeah, Leila Fernandez could pose a few problems. I think she seems to have rediscovered her form over the last, you know, few months or so. But I think Coco Gauff she is ready, and I think she believes, and I think she can go very, very deep in this competition.
Well, let's take a look at the final quarter of the draw, which does have Ons Jabeur and defending champion Aryna Sabalenka. Looking at Sabalenka's draw here, I think she's got a very, very reasonable draw. Chris, what do you think about the prospect of Sabalenka defending her title, or at least making it through to the latter stages without harm.
I mean, I haven't said that she's going to get particularly far, and I'm starting to think, why have I said that? I'm looking at the draw trying to figure it out, but she's playing well. She obviously had a very bad loss in that final, quite a humbling loss against probably kind of the perfect tennis of Rybakina that day. So I think she does need a good draw here just to kind of get herself back on track and kind of right the ship. There's a few sort of tricky players in here. I mean, Samsonova and Vekic are both out of form. Serenko has not been playing particularly well. So it's probably the easiest draw she could have asked for. Ongjabeur, again, someone who hasn't been playing much on the tennis court. And I think it's hers not to make. But I have my eye on a few players here. I think we could get a good run from Krejcikova if she's able to kind of rediscover some of that form that she's been missing. But we do have some Brits who I think could do well. A Brit that I think could have a good run, given the fact that she has got Tamara Korpach in the first round. That's Jodie Burridge. She's here by right, not through qualifying. And, you know, Krejcikova, as I've said, she could rediscover some form, but if she doesn't, I think that section is actually quite nice for her to maybe win a match at a Grand Slam, potentially, you know, head to a third round. So that could be interesting.
How is Krejcikova still the ninth seed?
She won Dubai last year, which was 1,000. Yeah.
That was a long time ago, though, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, I want to throw out a couple of unseeded players in this quarter. We've got Mira Andreeva, who a lot of people are talking about as a very good prospect. I mean, Matt Futterman from The Athletic reckons she's going to get to a Grand Slam final this season. That's how I think highly regarded she is. But also Paula Badosa is in the draw as well. She's got Taylor Townsend in the first round. She's back. Back injuries? It's issues with her back,
yeah,
isn't
she
it?
Had a lot of back injuries. Last time she played, she won a round at Wimbledon and then she pulled out. And
yes.
Then she started back this season, had a good sort of three-set contest. But, I mean, when she was playing her best, she was really good.
Do you think Badosa can go on a similar trajectory that Svitolina sort of went on, you know, coming back to the tour and you know, impressing people in terms of the form that she brought back so quickly? Or where do you see kind of this Badosa return going?
She was a very solid top 20 who got that standout result in Indian Wells, and that result did stay a bit longer than I think because of the rankings and the time that was out of season. I think Indian Wells, I think she kind of sort of shot up the rankings at that point, and then she had some solid results but never really kind of made the breakthrough due to the injury issues. So it's a bit different from Svitolina, where she was kind of very much at the top of her game and then the war broke out with Ukraine. I think that caused her, you know, a lot of very difficult sort of mental issues to deal with that going on at home. And she took the time out, and then she's come back having had that maternity leave within kind of very sort of extreme focus and desire and determination, partly because of becoming a mother, but also she feels like she's playing for her country, whereas you've got to feel that Badosa is just trying to not let the haters be right here in terms of saying that she's not going to do something again. And there's an expectation that she has to kind of get back up to there rather than kind of do sort of a team, which she could be a bit of a risk to, and start kind of dropping down the rankings and not getting spots in Slam. So she's at a crossroads, and I think it would be great to see her regularly on the tour. But as we talked about, it's what her body would allow her for.
Yes. And I mean, Anisimova also unseeded here. You know, we know previously she's had some excellent performances at Slams. And Samsonova as well, 13th seed, perhaps not one to underestimate. I did once predict her to win Wimbledon, though. So perhaps the best, the less said about
waiting.
That, the better. Still waiting.
Still waiting.
So let's make some predictions for our quarter finals onwards. Let's go quarter by quarter again. Quarter one, Chris, I'm coming to you first. Who have you got?
Well, this is my roguest prediction, I think. I've gone for Svitolina Ostapenko. I think Svitolina might get the better of Swiatek once again.
Wow. Well, I have still stuck with my prediction that I made on Monday, which is Swiatek. I've got her up against Ostapenko. Joel?
Swiatek Ostapenko as well.
And second quarter, I've gone for Rybakina versus Qinwen Zheng, actually, as perhaps a bit of a surprise quarterfinalist, perhaps not. Chris, who have you got?
I've done the same.
Oh, okay. Love it when we're sort of like-minded. Joel?
Rabakina JPEG.
JPEG. You believe in the JPEG. Quarter three. Joel, start us off on this one.
Here we go.
This is when I feel everyone's going to be like, what? What did Joel just say? Coco Gauff versus Linda Fruvertiver. There, I said it. Come on, Linda.
The smugness when this actually happens will be amazing. Well, I've gone for Caroline Wozniacki against Coco Gauff, and they did play at the US Open.
Oh, come on. That's even more ludicrous than Linda Fruvertiver.
Didn't they play in the fourth round?
They played at
the
fourth
last Grand
round
Slam,
of the last Grand Slam. And Wozniacki's a former champion. So we'll see. Chris?
I mean, I'm looking at this, and I did kind of look at this today and fill this in, but I'm not really resonating with my predictions at all at this point. I've gone for Sakkari and Gauff, and I'm a bit surprised by that, but I'm going to say Sakkari.
So we've all gone for Gauff, but the others differ. And then the final quarter, Joel, who have you got?
I'm going Mira Andreeva versus Aryna Sabalenka.
I have gone for exactly the same as you there. And Chris?
Alexandrova versus Pavlyuchenkova. I think Pav has come back and she's playing some great tennis.
So you're not going for Sabalenka at all. So semi lineup, Joel. Who are your semi finalists?
I've got Ostapenko, Rybakina, Gauff, Sabalenka.
So you're going for Ostapenko to beat Świątek there, Chris. Who have you got?
I've gone for Svitolina, Rybakina. And then I've gone for Gauff, Pavlyuchenkova.
Righty ho. Well,
Pavlyuchenkova in the Australian Open 2024 semi-finals.
She did make that Roland Garros final. Yeah.
Exactly.
Świątek versus Zheng, and then Gauff, Sabalenka. So I think Coco Gauff is the only
like the
one
that
we
yeah.
are still predicting across the board. And okay, final and champion, Chris.
Svitolina Gauff with Svitolina the champion. The Auckland final was the preview of the Australian Open final.
Ah, well, who knows? Perhaps so. And Joel?
You're not convinced, Kim. That's like, no.
Rybakina, Gauff, and I'm going Coco Gauff as my Australian Open champion.
Two slams in a row for Gauff.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah, I can see that, but...
I've gone for Świątek Sabalenka with Świątek to win, but I don't know if my heart, I believe that really, but I thought I'm going to go for paper and, you know, just, she's got to win it one day, hasn't she? Surely. So why not in 2024? Prediction from the other day. Yeah, too good not to. There we go. So that does bring us to a close for the draw previews. We do have one final thing to reveal, which is our collect a set player picks for this rendition of Collector Set. For those of you listeners who have not played it before, essentially it's our little prediction challenge where we give you six players and you have to tell us what round you think they will get to, or, you know, if they're going to win the whole shebang. The prize is a very special Tennis Weekly prize, which will be sent to you after if you are the lucky winner. So, drum roll, please. I think we are going to reveal
it's
the Australian Open 2024.
Yeah, that's very cryptic, Kim, isn't it?
What, the prize? I was trying to keep the prize, you know, exciting and secret. But Joel, you've just said it's a mug. But yes, it is a mug. But it's a very special mug, isn't it?
It's beautiful. Tennis Weekly mug for our winner. And as Kim said, we've got six picks. I'm going to let Kim and Chris, you can do the honours in unveiling who the players are. Kim, I'll do the drum roll and you reveal the three male picks. So drum roll. Ooh, the collector set male picks are
Grigor Dimitrov, Jack Draper, Alex de Minaur. It's a good bunch of male names there, I think. Get your thinking caps
Lots
on
of
already.
Potential.
And the female picks are?
We have Naomi Osaka, Emma Raducanu, and Elina Svitolina.
So a few Brits in there and a few returning players, home hope as well, and some with recent form. So do tell us what round you think they're all going to get to, or if you think they're going to be champion, or if you're going to think, if you think they're going to get to the final, make sure you specify whether they're winning and the champion or whether they're just the runner up. Please do let us know before the start of play on Sunday.
I need to get rid of the Slam Spoon of Shames as well, I believe. I think I still have them. I think I had them the whole of last season, actually, if I'm honest. They just stayed with me.
I think my dad won the last round of collector set. So, yeah, no, that sounds like it's nepotistic. It's not. He genuinely
definitely
did win. Yeah. But we'll be revealing our collector
under
set predictions.
Under a pseudonym.
On the next rendition of the podcast. But yes, that's your six picks. So get predicting, get them into us on social media before play starts on Sunday. It's a Sunday start this year, so don't forget.
Yes, we will be revealing our collector set player pick predictions next week. Get them in before play starts on Sunday. We're going to wrap up our draw preview episode here. Remember, there's still time to donate to the Tennis Weekly crowd fund. The link is in the description. And also vote for us in the Sports Podcast Awards, which also can be done in the description as well. But in the meantime, listeners, I hope you've enjoyed our latest episode of the Tennis Weekly podcast. Remember to subscribe to us to stay up to date on all the action from Melbourne Park over the next couple of weeks.
We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major podcasting platforms out there. And if you like what you're hearing, then make sure to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
And as always with the Grand Slams, there'll be plenty of clips on our social media for you to look at. So you can follow us on social media or email the show. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube. At Tennis Weekly Pod is the handle. You can purchase Tennis Weekly merch at the link etsy.com/shop/tennisweeklypodcast. You can email the show tennisweeklypod@gmail.com or check out our website tennisweekly.co.uk.
And we will be back on Tuesday at Tennis Weekly HQ for our round one Australian Open catch up. So I hope you can join us for that. But in the meantime, it's goodbye from Kim.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from Chris.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. We'll see you again soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.